Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm having a bit of a bad hair day today, but it doesn't matter because my first guests have given me a hat which says Fly DC3 on it. It's just what I needed in this exact moment. We're talking about Betsy, a historic American-built Douglas DC-3 aircraft, which sadly may have flown its last sightseeing flight out of Auckland's Ardmore Airport. I wonder if anyone listening has been lucky enough to travel in Betsy, perhaps to the Coromandel for a leisurely day out, or just to see her flying in the skies above Aotearoa. Well, the aircraft is operated by one of our tiniest airlines called Fly DC-3. It's run by Jessica Cooper and her husband Jeff, and they're with me now to discuss the challenges faced by the airline and a bit of the history of the plane as well. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Great to see you. I can tell that you guys love this plane, not just because you showed me a photo of it on your phone and brought in a little model of it, but the passion is very clear. And why do you love it?
For me, in particular, a classic, you know, that was built 1935 to represent most of the aviation transport around the world, and then, of course, was heavily involved with the Second World War, and its intensity and the involvement of, you know, over 16,000 aircraft built was one of the major factors in victory at Normandy. And for me in particular, you know, I first set my hands on this aeroplane, learnt to fly it in 1973.
Gosh.
With the RNZF, and just coincidentally with that squadron that's on the model there.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of years, 2.5 years, and then many years later, 1998, I think it was, I was asked if I'd like to get involved with the then Warbird Dakota, and it really was a no-brainer for me, and perhaps Jesse looked at me and said, "You got to do it." So there I was. And
what was the history of that plane before you guys acquired it?
She was born in 1944 in Oklahoma, and that was one of the main bases. There were three bases in the USA. So Oklahoma is where she was born, and she stayed in the continental USA for the war years, so she didn't actually see wartime service or wartime action. And after the war, towards the end of the war, she went across to the Philippines, Korea, Japan, sort of the MASH years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was possibly General MacArthur's private DC-3 aircraft.
Gosh.
So after the war, she became, because she was now surplus, she became Philippine Airlines' flagship. And she flew generally between Manila and Hong Kong. I hate to think going on a DC-3 between Manila and Hong Kong, but that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and after that she moved down to Papua New Guinea, where she became an Australian airline, and flew in Papua New Guinea, then across to Queensland. Then she languished in a air museum in Mackay, and that's when there was this little newspaper for sale, a DC-3 was sent across to New Zealand, and some New Zealanders and New Zealand warbirds went across and said, "That's ours," and they bought her.
Gosh.
Mm.
By tender.
Yeah. By tender,
by
yeah.
By tender, yeah.
So steeped in history, 80th birthday this year.
Yes.
Correct.
And why has she been worth preserving? I mean, 80 years is a good innings. Why persevere?
Interestingly enough, one of the original aeroplanes built in 1935 is still flying, and I don't doubt that it will go to become a centurion. And, you know, there's several more that are going to take up the challenge, I'm quite convinced. And, you know, when you consider that some of the airframes still flying, and there's only about 160 that are considered airworthy, there's some that have only done a little over 3,000 hours. The oldest aeroplane built, 1935, still flying with 93,000 hours. So, you know, for me, it's when I got back into it at New Zealand Warbirds or Warbird Dakota, it was like I'd never really got out of it. And subsequently, I mean, I've been flying that aeroplane now for 26 years, and I've loved every minute of it.
Tell me where you've been flying for the last 26 years. What have you been doing with it?
We've been flying all around New Zealand. We wouldn't even dare try and fly to Australia. So, based in Auckland, from the Ardmore Airport. So we're based there, and we started off doing half-hour scenic flights around Auckland. We've also done 12-day trips around New Zealand. We've had about four or five of those. Fantastic, going off to the provinces and just. Everything's just so much more casual in the provinces, and people come out to wave and they come on board the aircraft, and it's just been fantastic. Mm. We've also done just trips around the North Island. And during the lockdowns, when we weren't, Auckland had a border, remember, we weren't allowed to leave. So we pushed the envelope and started looking at one-hour flights. We would go up to the border to go Byron Bay and then back again just to... Yes, see what we could do. And it was so popular, very popular.
And, I mean, aside from, you know, lockdown, everyone wanted to do something, get out of the house. But in general, what do people enjoy about taking these flights?
I think it's just the nostalgia and the history. When people walk into our big World War II hangar at Ardmore, which is a World War II airport, We have this World War II music, you know, the Vera Lynn kind of music. Mm-hmm. People walk in and we set the scene for them. You know, the girls, we're all in period uniforms and the boys are too. We have, you know, as I said, the music, a nice cup of tea.
It's an experience, eh?
It's an experience. Mm-hmm. And we give them the time to ask questions. And then just walking out to the aircraft, it just looks beautiful. And the way we show them around the aircraft first and how big it actually is. People love the sound, they love the history, they love the nostalgia. And I think, you know, over the last X many years, we've done a really, really good job of that.
One of the things that really stands out, I think, for most people is that the aeroplane's fully carpeted, fully lined, doesn't have a hat rack, so there's that feeling of a little bit of extra space.
Yeah.
And the major comment really is the legroom.
Hmm.
So, you know, and the fact that it's tail down, of course, means that they're like walking up Willis Street in Wellington to get to their seats, and that creates quite a topical conversation as well.
Yes. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Mm.
Now, what's the problem? What's the challenge?
I think Jesse and I have been involved for, as we say, over 25 years, and I'm well and truly retired, and Jesse's now a gold carder, and we've reached the point where the workload for both of us has got to a point where we have to say, can we persevere and carry on like this? And the simple answer is that not so much me, but I'll be happy to take a break. But for Jesse, the workload has been just horrendous.
Mm.
And it's got to a point where we're down in such short numbers of staff or people that can do the job that we don't have a choice but currently to winter over the aeroplane and take some time out and see where it goes to from there.
What's the dream scenario?
There's three dreams. The dream that I would like is that the aircraft stays in New Zealand, even if we don't fly again. That we have a purpose-built hangar for her, almost a museum, so we do ground runs and visits and things like that, so at least she's safe in this country. Dream number two is keep her flying, and I'll get to that point. Dream number three is what we don't want, and it's her to be sold overseas, but that might be where it goes. That might be where it goes. So in a nutshell, our issues are money and manpower.
Yeah.
So we used to get funding every year from three different places. You know, every 3 years we'd go to different people, and they would happily fund us for our annual engineering check. That stopped 4 years ago. And at the same time as the lockdown, so all our crew are current or former airline or Air Force crew. So during the lockdowns, none of the crew could help us because they were always in quarantine. So we went down, down, down in the number of crew. So now we're only skeleton crew at the moment, and we just can't get more pilots. or cabin crew. If we trained them, we would have to keep flying with them for 18 months.
Yeah.
It's just too hard now.
We're out of time. Any kind of final message, or what are you looking for here?
I've been deluged with offers of funding and offers of help, so that's good, and I'll be dealing with that over the next week or two. The senior management, we'll all be having meetings in the next 9 or 10 days. The next issue to think about is crew, and is there an availability of crew to train? Number three is, can we keep doing this? You know, would it be just me, you know, putting my hat up on the hook and saying, well, I can't do this anymore because the pressures have been too hard? Mm.
I hope it has a happy ending. Thank you for the memories you've created for New Zealanders and for keeping the memory of the DC3 alive. Lovely to meet you both.
Thanks, JC.
Thank you. We've been talking about a historic DC3 aircraft and the tiny airline that flies it, Fly DC3.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.